Recording in progress.
Okay. Honourable members of the Portfolio Committee of Public Works and Infrastructure, the support team that supports this Portfolio Committee, the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, not sure whether the Deputy Minister is here or not, but the executive in the form of the Minister and the Deputy Minister and the acting DG of the department, the board of the Robben Island Museum, the CEO of the Robben Island Museum and the team, the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, if there is any representative. Good morning to you all. Today we will be receiving a report on the implementation of recommendations to deal with the challenges that we found when we had an oversight visit to small harbors and including the Robben Island from the 18th to the 21st of April 2023. We found a number of challenges which we discussed at the Portfolio Committee and had the recommendations to the department to follow them up. So we are coming here on this meeting to follow up on those recommendations that we made to the department on the issues that we found. We're focusing specifically this part on the Robben Island. We're doing so knowing fully well that come 2024, this 30 years of freedom in our country, and it can't be freedom if you don't talk about the role that has been played by the Robben Island in our history. So we are really concerned about the issues that we found there, and we want to see solutions. We are taking our responsibilities, especially of doing oversight, seriously as this Portfolio Committee, and on the issues that we see that they affect the communities, sometimes the rural communities. When we talk about small harbors, there were many issues that affect those communities that those harbors are in. And in this one, we're focusing solely on Robben Island in this Portfolio Committee. That's why we invited the board and the board of YAM and the management of the museum. With those words, honourable members, I welcome you all in this Portfolio Committee. Know that all the things that we raised, we will see them being done by the department. In fact, both departments, the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure and Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. Do we have any apologies, Lwazi?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members. Chairperson, the only apology I have is from the Minister Zikalala, who is attending a cabinet meeting this morning. I've been informed that the Deputy Minister is trying to log in, but due to network issues, but she will join the meeting, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Lazi. The Deputy Minister was trying to call me as I was speaking. I couldn't respond. I will follow up on her. Who will be starting with our presentation? Is it the department or then the will then ask the museum to come in? Is the department ready? Acting DG? Honourable members, we have a new acting DG in the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Ms. Yeleti is no longer our acting DG. Our acting DG is just want to check the name. Acting DG?
Dr.
It's Advocate Cesar Neche.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, DM. Just trying to check the name because I do have an apology that we received last week from him. Yeah. You are welcome, Acting DG. DM, who is going to lead in terms of the presentation in the department?
According to what I have in the file that I have, they have said it's going to be acting DDG Sifiso Mdakane. I don't know whether they have changed, but I would have expected that the acting DG would also be here on the platform, Honorable Chair.
Okay, thank you so much, DM. Mr. Mdakane, acting DDG.
Official from Public Works, who is presenting today?
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Minister, Honorable yes. Members. This is Rashad Samuel, yeah? On the part with that deals with Robben Island and the total facilities management, Advocate Sharma will be presenting together with the regional manager for Cape Town. I'm with the deputy minister meeting in the deputy minister in the South African Council's meeting, but I will be in the portfolio committee meeting as well, acting DG and members.
Thank you so much. Mr. Ms. Sharma, please.
Apologies, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, and all management of DPW.
Sorry, Honorable Chair.
Yes,
Sorry, Honorable Chair. I just want to indicate to you, Honorable Chair, I've just called the acting DG. He is in the meeting, but he says he's struggling with sound. So I told him to leave the meeting and rejoin again. But he is part of the meeting, like I had indicated, Honorable Chair. Sorry for that.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Can we allow then Ms. Sharma to continue? Thank you, DM. And I hope that even with the museum management, the person who will be presenting on their behalf is given hosting rights, so that we don't have the challenge of not knowing who will be doing that. Ms. Sharma?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm going to try and present from my side in terms of the Robben Island portion of the presentation. I'm trying to see if I can share my screen. Apologies, I can't find it. Just want to open the presentation. Honorable Chair and members, I just wanted to confirm, is my screen visible to all?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I'm going to basically go through the slides relating to the Robben Island Museum portion. I'm hoping that Mr. Mdakane or the regional manager will present on the portion relating to small harbors. So presenting from slide 19. Is that visible to all? Oh, to maneuver here, sorry.
Ms. Summer, we can see your slides. That one is very clear. Thank you.
So, good morning to the Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, the Honourable Deputy Minister, all DDGs and members, all the management of Robben Island Museum, as well as Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. I'm just going to be providing an update on the Robben Island Museum oversight visit that took place during the beginning of this year. So the progress update is going to relate to the water desalination plant, also the total facilities management contract, as well as the service level agreement or the tripartite agreement between Department of Public Works Infrastructure, Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, and the Robben Island Museum Management Team. And then what are the interim measures in the absence of the total facilities management contract that is currently being provided by the Cape Town Regional Office, and any general items that may appear. So in terms of the water desalination plant, undeniably it was a challenge this year in having the plant commissioned, because I think it was the main water supply to the region in terms of you know, the water that's utilized, especially for the servicing of the toilets, etc., on the island. So there were challenges. I know the island has restored some of the boreholes, but they will present on that. So the plant is now fully operational, and all the repairs that have been required on the plant were attended to. So as at, I believe, the 9th of November, Reservoir 2 has over 1 million litres of water. Reservoir 3 has around 400,000 litres of water. And currently, the plumbers are on site repairing all the pipes and water leaks in the water distribution network to ensure that there's water that is provided to the housing precinct and the harbour. And we are optimistic, and we'll receive confirmation from the regional office that the water reticulation system was supposed to be functional by the 15th of November. They will guide us and confirm this to us. And then on the 13th of November, the relevant officials from the Cape Town Regional Office did conduct the necessary SANS 241 testing within the water reticulation network to ensure that you know, the water quality is actually fit for human consumption, because I think that is one of the major risk factors when it comes to the water supply on the island. And there were issues, obviously, that are operational around spares and drawings, as well as the manuals and schematics. And all of this was supposed to have been concluded by the 20th of November this year. Colleagues and honorable members, Chair, sorry, my apologies for the incorrect addressing of yourselves, but these are pictures of the desalination plant as it is now. I think the honourable members from the portfolio committee did visit the site, and they would have seen it would have been with much less in terms of equipment and movement when they previously visited the site. But now you can see there's a lot of work that has been done by the Cape Town Regional Office to ensure that the plant is actually functional. The total facilities management contract, undeniably we've had a multitude of challenges in implementing this, and we are hoping that, you know, we will be concluding the tender process and actually going out to tender to award. In essence, we have completed the total facilities management contract strategy as articulated during the oversight visit of this year. Due to the time lapse from when the original procurement instruction was issued, there were a lot of factors that had to be taken into consideration before the strategy was finalized, and especially around the magnitude of work that was required on the island, and then also to support the island in terms of certain capital works projects that had been concluded by themselves to ensure that maintenance is thereafter provided. So as a team, we've gone out and we've reassessed and we've carried out a re-scoping of the island, and then we've had strategy submitted through to our acting director general at the time, Ms. Nyeleti Makubela, due to the cost containment measures that were issued by National Treasury, and we've received approval to go ahead with this particular project. We were hoping that we would have gone out on tender during the course of this year, not necessarily the financial year, but this year, but we might be challenged, as we are hoping that the matter serves with our internal processes next week, Monday at the latest. But the additional scoping for the total facilities management contract, amongst others, was the inclusion of the bluestone and limestone quarries. The bluestone quarries was actually repaired by the Robert Island Museum, and that project was concluded, I believe, during the course of this year. Therefore, it was imperative that some kind of maintenance be put in to ensure that, you know, the heritage site is actually adequately maintained. So we've incorporated that into the scope of works, and we are obviously aligning the requests and requirements to that of the Robben Island Museum infrastructure team, have guided us in terms of a lot of the requirements that need to be complied with. The other addition is around the crane. Previously, there was an inclusion of the requirements for the crane, both on the island as well as the docking area, so we've incorporated that onto the scope of work. I know the issue of the asbestos is quite contentious in terms of the health and safety risks. So we have, had our team, internal team, conduct an assessment of the asbestos. And for now, in terms of the scoping for the TFM, we are looking at focusing on the asbestos to make safe. But obviously, a more robust project will follow in terms of the removal and replacement of the asbestos, and that will be aligned to CAPEX projects that will be carried out by RIM to allow for alignment. And also, I think the cost implication is quite monumental, and taking into consideration the issues of the limited fiscus, I think we were looking at a phased approach to deal with the asbestos. Imperative to actually moving forward in terms of how we are managing ourselves and how we interrelate, as our client is Department Sports, Arts and Culture. There's a special relationship, obviously, that's shared between Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, as well as the Robben Island Museum. And then the challenge that was faced there was that there isn't an actual integrated agreement that is in existence, because the previous one, had come to an end a few years ago. So we've gone through various sessions between ourselves as Public Works and Infrastructure, as well as Department of Sports, Arts and Culture and the Robben Island Museum, to try and finalize the tripartite agreement that talks to each of our roles and responsibilities, and then ensure that we have a relationship of open communication and support. So this has gone through a rigorous role, a sort of procedure of us engaging, as well as having input from the various legal components within Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, as well as ourselves as in DPWI. And then the revised agreement, which was finally submitted to the Office of the Acting DG, was sent on the 13th of November. We will follow up in terms of the status thereof, because I know there was a lot of requests where we needed to make amendments, especially at the request of Sports, Arts and Culture, and we had to accommodate such, because it was an agreement that needs to obviously fulfill all of our mandates in terms of the department and Robben Island Museum. Robben Island Museum Steering Committee has sat, I think, at the previous portfolio oversight visit, there was a concern raised that the committee was not sitting, and it has since sat. I think there's been several changes in management. However, we are hoping that we will have a meeting before the end of this year to provide progress and updates in terms of where we are going as a collective team. Currently, due to the fact that we do not have the total facilities management contract in place at the museum, the Cape Town Regional Office continues to provide the interim maintenance support to the island through the day-to-day maintenance that they are providing. So horticultural services also form part of the services that are provided by the regional office, and this is being sort of beefed up or enhanced since the 28th of August, where we have a dedicated team of DPWI officials that are working on the island, supporting with the gardening services. Safe to say, you know, every sort of assistance that's provided is also met with challenges, but we try through open communication to address this. And I think since the oversight visit that has taken place, as well as the deputy minister's visit and the minister's visits this year, it has enhanced the communication, not just at a strategic level, but at operational level as well. When there are challenges, they are then, escalated and, amicably resolved. So I think that has been a positive step in terms of the interventions, from the side of the portfolio committee as well as our executives. The area that is covered through the services that are provided through the soft services team is the tourist bus route from Alpha One to the harbour with the public open space, the guest house, the old school and multiple learning centre, as well as the village precinct. Now, I'm aware that there were challenges with the team that were providing the services, but we were advised that the team has returned to the tourist bus route as at the 30th of October and will ensure that the tourist routes specifically are prioritized when it comes to the aspect of, making the area look and feel good when we've got our tourists actually, walking or traveling through the various areas on the island. In terms of the technical services that are being rendered by the Cape Town DPWI Facilities Management Team, we've got building works, that is your carpentry, roofing, plumbing, fire extinguishers, hose reels and the hydrants. We've got electrical, which is through your domestic and industrial electrical reticulation, and then maintenance and operations of the solar and generator plants. And then the team from the Cape Town Regional Office have actually appointed a new full-time team to oversee the generators to ensure that it is adequately maintained, serviced, and then also to look at the consumables to monitor the issues of the fuel supply on the island as well. Because I believe when we did do visits during the course of this year, it was a challenge around power supply on the island, and there were challenges also with the generators that were on site where they were not actually functional. We've also in the process of procuring two additional generators for the island, and we are optimistic that these will be actually installed by the end of January 2024, if not sooner. So the mechanical issues around the island, we're specifically referring to your pumps, your catering equipment, your refrigeration, air conditioning, access control, roller doors and gates, as well as the water treatment plant, which is very important, and the crane services. So this is the type of support that the DPWI Regional Office currently provide to the island through the Cape Town Regional Office. So in essence, we've had a total of approximately 1,160 calls that have been logged for interim maintenance on the island, whilst pending the total facilities management contract being put in place. I think one of the most important aspects of concern that was also raised was adequate monitoring of the services that are being rendered to the client department as well as the island. And we have then actually engaged the regional office to the regional manager, and we were given the undertaking that the FM officials from the Cape Town Regional Office have conducted site visits on the 1st and 6th of November. November for the desalination plant especially, then for the water reticulation network, the generators, solar plant, as well as the electrical reticulation on the island. We've also requested that there be continuous site visits, because an absence also creates, you know, problems. So we've requested that there are, you know, frequented site visits, and we've been given the undertaking that this will take place weekly by the FM officials from the Cape Town Regional Office, and then this will also be supported by facilities management from head office side. I believe myself and the acting DDG will also be making a visit to the island as well as to the Cape Town Regional Office to obviously address, you know, certain of the concerns that may even be highlighted here today. Just in general, we wanted to also raise, you know, over the last or recent months, there were challenges that we experienced in Cape Town. I'm sure we're all well aware of the storms and floods and the damages caused therefrom. And these also contributed partially to the delays that were experienced when it came to the repairs and maintenance work that were supposed to be carried out by Public Works on the island. There was also delays in the transportation of goods to and from the island as well. So I think what's imperative for us is for us to integrate now with the pipeline of capital works for projects to be carried out by the museum in terms of the dates and timeframes, because that is twofold, where we need to ensure that going forward, you know, proper preventative maintenance is put in place that actually coincides with the completion of the CAPEX project. And then secondly, when we're wanting to look at dealing with the issue of asbestos, it will be also important for us to align to ensure that, you know, a particular phase or area within the island that is being worked on is covered in one complete task, rather than us obviously disturbing the environment in various areas on the island. So I think that is where we need to basically move forward. And I anticipate that the steering committee, as well as a tripartite agreement, will obviously give more impetus to this going forward. I thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Deputy Minister, Management of Public Works and Infrastructure, as well as Sports, Arts and Culture, and the Robben Island Management Museum team. And then I will hand back, I'm not too sure if the regional manager is on the floor or a member from ESA who will take us through the integrated master planning program for strategy. I did see Mr. Plady from ESA. I'm not too sure if he'll then follow through with the remainder of the presentation. I hand back to you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Ms. Chan, for this presentation. I really don't know who is going to follow you, whether it's the regional manager, Ms. Pengwe, or, as you indicated, someone from ESA. Mr. Sadi, are you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let's continue.
Yeah, no, good morning, Chair, and good morning to the members of the Portfolio Committee, and also to the Deputy Minister and the senior managers from Public Works and from DSEC, and also from RIM and the other colleagues on the line. So I was just hoping that Ms. Sharma was going to keep the presentation on that she was presenting, but I'll just flight it. I hope I've got it right, because I don't think I have the rights to present. Ms. Sharma, can you please put it back on?
I have given you rights, Mr. Tlati.
Okay, thank you, sir. Let me just display it quickly. The screen. There we go. I hope it is visible. Chair, is it visible on your side?
Yes, it is, but I believe you will be, yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah. No, thank you very much. So just in continuation with what Advocate Sharma was speaking to, our role was around having had discussions with the Robben Island Museum management and their request for us to work with them in formulating an integrated master plan for their capital project and really focusing on it as a mega program that can help them not only in fulfilling their CapEx requirements, which is their capital requirements, but also long-term sustainability of these assets. So what we are currently doing with them is looking at what their program entails, which is around what are the different projects that they would like to achieve, and that we have packaged under the integrated and efficient REM infrastructure program. And as part of that, we will be looking at opportunities of where there are projects that are suitable for preparation for both public and private sector collaboration and how we can enhance those business plans to attract different procurement models. And then, as I already mentioned, the sustainability of the program, both in implementation and how the management will be able to work together with partners like DPWI in the maintenance program. So the elements that we'll be considering will be things that relate to the buildings, and here the island or the management, the museum has an alternative reuse program, which is really around extracting value from all the assets on the island and finding alternative uses for them that can both benefit the island in increasing their offerings to the visitors to the island, but also protect the use of those assets. And then, as also mentioned, further mechanical and electrical infrastructure bulk work that is required, things like water and sanitation, et cetera, that will also be part of that program. And then offsite facilities, including their current office accommodation, which relates both to on the island and off the island, if you think of the Nelson Mandela Gateway as an example. And then on the logistics and transport, we are really looking at other alternatives that connect the islands to the mainland, and that will be part of the early business case work that we will look at. But in order for us to do that, there's a process that we have to follow. And here we're just basically outlining that we have agreed terms of reference between ESA and Robben Island to help them with their capital infrastructure program. And we are currently in the process of compiling that infrastructure, that integrated infrastructure program, so that it can be registered within ESA. And we hope that once it's approved by the committee internally at ESA, that it qualifies, because ESA has a set criteria of whether programs or projects can qualify to be in the pipeline, then it will be registered, and then we'll be able to carry out the integrated master plan on behalf of the island. Thank you very much, Chair, and all on the line. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sari. Mrs. Peng, the regional manager.
Good morning, and thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, DM, Acting DG, and the colleagues. Good morning. No, Chairperson, Ms. Advocate Sharma has dealt with the presentation. I was going to be dealing with the small harbours presentation, but then the focus of the meeting changed into the, it focuses on the Robben Island. But she has dealt with all the issues as we had prepared this the presentation together. Thank you, Chair.
No, continue with the small harbours, Ms. Peng. Please continue with the small harbours.
Is it? Okay. Advocate, can you please assist and flight the presentation, if you don't mind? You can go to the next. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. The presentation is going to be focusing in terms of the table of contents on the matters which were raised by the portfolio committee during the visits, which the focus was on repairs and maintenance around security measures, the leases, and we'll then be providing an update in terms of those matters which were raised by the portfolio committee. The next slide will also be focusing on Azefontein, which is an unproclaimed harbour, the status and challenges there, the sea harvest issue, which was a big issue, and the status of how the harbour, so that, and then we'll provide a way forward. Slide number four. The purpose of the report is to provide a progress report to the portfolio committee with regard to the site oversight visit, which was held on the 18th and 21st of April 2023. Few harbors in the Western Cape where the portfolio committee visited Saldanha, Azefontein, Hout Bay, Cove Bay, Prince Bay, and Robben Island. In terms of the matters which were raised by the portfolio committee raised issues around the repairs and maintenance at these various harbors. And I think the main issue was the lack of proper maintenance and upgrades to slipways, the shore crane replacements, the civil and electrical infrastructure repairs and the upgrades at these various harbors. The other issue which came up very sharply was security within these harbors, because security at the harbors, most of the harbors is weak, and which have led to an increase in break-ins and vandalism. There were concerns of suspicious activities relating to abalone poaching, drug trade, and human trafficking, and also the issue that there was no backup of power when there's load shedding, which then exposes these harbors to criminal elements. And also the issue that, you know, the CCTV cameras that have been installed are not functional and they are not being monitored. In terms of this, some of these issues which were raised by the portfolio committee, in terms of the update, in terms of day-to-day maintenance, we are, through our facilities management in the region, we are... providing during the maintenance to our FM units, the term with maintenance, but with it's not your CAPEX projects for these harbors, but I'll get to that later on in the presentation. And also the long-term maintenance plan. Since we had those visits, Honorable Chairperson, with the portfolio committee, we have been in touch with Department of DFFE, and they have approached us, the department, for the development and implementation of a refurbishment plan for the proclaimed fishing harbors. So we are planning to have this meeting with DFFE, and we will be commissioning detailed condition assessments for the various harbors, and then a maintenance plan for each harbor will be developed and submitted for approval and funding. The long-term maintenance plan, it seeks to deal with the current maintenance and security challenges which have been highlighted by the committee. The meeting was supposed to take place tomorrow on a day, but because of the planned property investment conference tomorrow, we were forced then to reschedule the meeting with FFE. But I can mention at this meeting and indicate that there is commitment from the side of the FFE to come up with a plan, a comprehensive plan, which will be dealing with the maintenance of these harbors. In terms of security update, we continue to provide technical security services at Hout Bay. I think because due to the high level of destruction and vandalism of infrastructure at that specific harbour, and in other harbours, the FFE is providing security. And also because securing of the harbours is the responsibility of the FFE, the FFE is in the process of concluding the appointment of security service providers for the various harbours. So we wait for the FFE. Other issues which were raised by the portfolio committee was the revenue generation. There were issues which were raised with regard to the source of incomes that are being derived from these harbours. The FFE, they've got their own sources, which is from the launching fees, mooring fees, and gate fees. But what was raised by the committee was that, what was indicated to the committee was that these tariffs were last reviewed in 1998, and the FFE have committed to review the tariffs, but we haven't received the latest update from the FFE as to how far they are in terms of that review. PUPWorks is generating our source of revenue from the harbours is from the rentals, because the infrastructure and the facilities that are within these harbours is the responsibility of PUPWorks. And we have now, the portfolio committee also raised the issue of month-to-month. And also at Azefontein, it was the issue of that the harbour it's not proclaimed, and also the fact that the municipality was maintaining the harbour and at no cost to the department, because the harbour is owned by Public Works. In terms of the update on the issues which were raised under revenue generation, we have engaged, as indicated, that we have engaged the FFE, unfortunately, also the FFE. Next slide, number 10, advocate. We've engaged the FFE, with regard to the revision of tariffs, and they are working on that. As Public Works, when it comes to the tariffs, the lease tariffs, we've started the renewal process because most of the leases within these harbors, when the portfolio committee visit, were month to month. We've sent out, you know, requests to all the tenants within the harbors, and we are receiving the responses. But I must indicate to the committee that the response is very low and poor, but we are pushing them. I think it's because now we are charging, you know, the market-related tariffs. So there's a bit of resistance, you know, from the tenants, that we are moving from what they used to pay. Now we are migrating to the market-related tariffs. So there is that constant and continued engagement with the tenants, and also the memorandum of understanding with regard to Azefontein, which is the Swartland municipality. We have since submitted the memorandum, because at the time when we visited the harbour, the memorandum of understanding of agreement was not in place. So we've developed one, and it has since been submitted to the municipality, and we are waiting for their response. In terms of EPWP opportunities, the portfolio committee raised the issue that we should extend, you know, the appointment of EPWP beneficiaries to other harbours, like in Gordon's Bay, and that the EPWP opportunities that have been created are not sufficient and sustainable. We should look at incorporating and training the youth, and also consider the reappointment of artisans to combat unemployment and also address maintenance issues. And I think I will go to the next slide in terms of progress on the EPW matters. There's a total of 181 EPWP participants that are deployed in various harbours. As you can see, in terms of the stats, as to in Hout Bay, we've got 36, Hermanus 50, Saldanha 30, St. Helena Bay 20, Pepper Bay 15, Hans Bay 22, and Lapec. But the plan is to extend the program to other harbours as well, but it's just the limitation is the budget at the moment. I think this is an area that we'll be focusing on in the new financial year, as we are now have revised the EPWP strategy as a department. In terms of the leases, renewal of leases, the portfolio committee has raised the issue of the non-renewal and the high, you know, percentage of expired leases. The same issue was raised by AG, and also the other issue which was raised by the portfolio committee, what there's a need to bring in small and emerging businesses to participate within these harbors. And transformation came up very sharply as well, to say that when we renew leases, we must consider, you know, issues of transformation and also the participation of the communities which are located close to these harbors. In terms of the update, Honorable Chairperson, as I've indicated earlier on, that the renewal of the existing leases is underway, and we anticipate to complete this process by end of March 2024. And the advertisement of the vacant properties and awarding, because I've indicated also earlier on that we had a high number of vacancies within these harbors, because there's quite a number of tenants that have since vacated some of the harbors. So the idea is to then advertise those, slide number 14, we advertise the opportunities on the open market. But in a quest to address the issues of empowerment and the participation of the previously disadvantaged, we have held a ministerial imbizo on the 5th of September, as well as we've had an imbizo is also planned for Saldanha at the end of this month, so that we can sensitize and the communities around the Saldanha of the opportunities that are available within Saldanha and Pepper Bay, as well as the other harbour. So there's that planned imbizo. Aza Fontaine, I think I've already indicated, Chairperson, that we've already sent out the memorandum of agreement to the municipality. We are just waiting for the municipality to respond. But on the proclamation of this harbour, it's a matter that has been referred to DFFE to proclaim the harbour, because the harbour is not proclaimed. So the proclamation is the responsibility of DFFE. But we'll keep the committee updated. The other aspect which came up on the visit was the sea harvest issue, the lease which had expired next night, as well as the damaged key. We have since, Chairperson, next slide, Advocate, we have since made an offer to sea harvest on the 4th of October for a 9 years, 11 months. And the intention of the offer was to kickstart the engagements and to get us to agree on the terms of the lease, as well as the maintenance of the key. And Sea Harvest responded, Chairperson, on the 18th of October, seeking clarity on some of the issues which were contained on our offer. A meeting was also held with Sea Harvest on the 20th of October 2023, wherein they requested time to consult with their board and thereafter revert to the department. We have since received a response from Sea Harvest, where they are making certain proposals in terms of how they would, because the meeting of the 20th, it was communicated to Sea Harvest that the department doesn't have the funding, the budget to fund the refurbishment of the key, because I think now it could be sitting at 60 million. So it was then presented to them to say that can't they take that back to the board and request that be then done by Harvest. They have since gotten back to us in terms of their letter. They are prepared to do the maintenance at their own cost, but they would want us to offset that you know, that investment. So it's something that we'll be looking at. We are planning to have a meeting with them, and we plan to conclude the lease by before the end of this financial year, because there's a lot of calculations that we'll have to do, and we'll then submit to the relevant authority for approval. In Hout Bay, Chairperson, we were in Hout Bay, and the committee they had identified and raised quite a number of issues in Hout Bay, and I think based on some of the challenges that we are experiencing within that harbour, the minister then directed us to establish a steering committee, which will strengthen the interface between the department and the community. So we've gone through a process of engaging consultations with the communities, both in Izamoyetu, at Hangbeck, as well as the Vale. The three communities have been consulted in terms of what we would want to achieve with the harbour, because the idea is to appoint a management agent who would look at the further development of the harbour and in line with the SDF and also manage all the tenants within the harbour. But also within the very same harbour, there's opportunities that would then accrue to the immediate communities. So that committee has since been appointed. We have a representation, six representatives from each community, and we have since, and the makeup of the representatives, it includes women, youth, it includes the military veterans as well. So each community is represented in the steering committee. So they will be forming part of that steering committee. And now have since submitted the memo for the formal appointment of the members to the minister. We're just waiting for the approval thereof. In terms of the way forward, Honourable Chairperson, we are saying that on the renewal of leases, we are planning to conclude this process by the end of March 2024. And also we are planning to advertise the vacancies by March 2024. As well as the pilot appointment of the agent that I've spoken to. We anticipate the document, it's gone through the supply chain processes. We anticipate to go out on advert between December and January. And I think the transformation issues have been, especially in Hout Bay, have been incorporated into the tender document that will be going out. And also we will continue to encourage DFFE to appoint, you know, physical security in all the harbors, and also strengthen their relations with SAPS. We have a very good working relationship and partnership that we have established with SAPS, and that the focus now is going to be also on the development of the maintenance and the management strategy for the harbors in collaboration with DFFE. But also what we have also discussed, Chairperson, with DFFE is to approach National Treasury to ring-fence some of the revenue that we are collecting from these harbors so that it can be used for the maintenance of these harbors, so that we can retain some of the tenants. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Senga. Thank you so much to the department for this detailed presentation that it has done. I know that we did invite the Robben Island Museum. Are they ready to present so that we interact as the members of the portfolio committee with the presentation? Robben Island Museum.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, and also to the Honourable Members, as well as the Honourable Deputy Minister and the leadership within DSEC and also DPWI and also our honorable, our chairperson, who's also in the on the platform. We are going to present, but we'll be guided because we do have the chairperson with us. I will be presenting as the chief executive officer of Robben Island, honorable chairperson.
Okay, thank you, CEO, so much. Let us allow the chairperson of the board first, maybe to do an introduction of the presentation. Just few words of introduction. Chair?
Yes, thank you very much, chairperson, and honorable members and representatives of the various entities. We will be providing an update and response to these issues. Save to say that some of the issues raised, in fact, nearly all the issues raised and flagged in the presentations by the advocate and Ms. Penwa, are longstanding. And by longstanding, I mean many, many, many years. We are clear that the process of engaging the so-called TFMC is problematic for a variety of reasons, which we shall present at the conclusion of the presentation by the CEO, and we will highlight why the approach adopted by DPWI to date, except fairly recently, is one that actually harms the iconic nature of this World Heritage Site. I'm very pleased that in the presentation, reference was made to DFFE, because it's quite clear that some of the areas need to be DFFE that is accountable. It should not be, for example, the horticultural and the ecosystem management being under the wing of either our ministry, DSAC, or the DPWI ministry, because of the mark that Robben Island has and is the managing entity for Robben Island. But I won't cloud the issues. I'll allow the CEO to take us through the key areas so that the committee can be put in the place of actually understanding the full nature and depth of the problems. And you already identified many of these issues in your presence at Robben Island earlier this year, and we would want to ensure that going forward those issues don't recur. So the CEO is ready to present, and I'll allow her to present. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chair. Over to you, CEO.
Good morning once more, Honorable Chairperson. I just want to first introduce the team that's with me before I start with the presentation. And if I be allowed also just to provide a brief background on Robben Island, high level in terms of the context of this presentation, as it is a progress report to the Portfolio Committee on Public Works and Infrastructure based on the oversight visit that was undertaken. With me, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, I am with the Chief Infrastructure Officer, Ms. Mapotla Makwadibe. I'm also with the Chief Heritage Officer, Mr. Chimangazo Nemaeni. I'm also with the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Garabo Ramela. And lastly, our new Chief Operations Officer, Dr. Jonty Sipa. So they will be supporting in terms of the presentation when necessary. Just confirmation if members can see the presentation.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you so much. Just a brief background. Robben Island is a 618 hectare island which covers that total area. And also, part of that, which is 45%, is covered by the built environment, which are the houses, cemeteries, roads, and quarries. But at the same time, one needs to highlight that we also have a total of 479 buildings that we are responsible for. And also, part and parcel of those buildings include our narration sites, the clinic that we are now using as a wellness center, offices, accommodation, storage, retail, and also the recreation part of the island. But also it's important to highlight to the committee that we also have historic sites, which are the quarry sites, also the banishment landscape, and also the landing strips, where we have helicopter landings in terms of our dignitaries that often visit the site of memory, the graves, and also the karamat and churches that are also on the island. And lastly, just to indicate that we do have horticulture and environmental management issues that also include the paths that the previous presenter covered, and also the overall landscape in terms of the fauna and flora. And also what is important is just to say that because we are a marine protected site declared in 2019, the site also has a breeding habitat in terms of the seabirds and some of the endangered species such as the African penguin. And these require compliance to stringent legislation by the DFSE as one of the policy departments, rather, that we are supporting in terms of our mandate. So, Chairperson, I thought I needed to provide that background before getting into the presentation. So I won't touch on the table of contents, but I'll go straight to what were the challenges, rather, and also the discussions that ensued in terms of the visit that was undertaken to Robben Island as one of the harbors that the portfolio committee visited. One of the issues or challenges that were raised related to the power generation limitations and also the high dependency on diesel as Robben Island, which as a result increases or creates a cost or expenditure that we really need to carry in terms of the transfer payments that we receive from the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. The other issue, Honourable Chairperson and members, was the water availability and also sustainability issues, so that Robben Island does not necessarily depend solely on the support because of the dwindling fiscus, but also have means of revenue generation in terms of the strategies that we will be embarking on as part of the turnaround, just to make sure that we are sustainable and ensure that the island also is sustainable into the future. The other issue that was raised was the implementation, the delays in the implementation of our capital project. And the previous presenter, Advocate Sharma, also indicated the interrelation between the capital works and the maintenance that needs to happen. And also one of the key issues that was raised at the time was the fact that over and above the capital works that need to happen, but also there was a result of capital works being done as a result of, rather, the maintenance backlog. And as a result, we need to reprioritize our funding in terms of the current financial year. And I think the last two pertain to exactly the dependencies that we have in terms of our stakeholders and therefore a need to strengthen the partnerships with our key stakeholders, which is an issue that I will cover also in the presentation. So as part of the progress, Honourable Chairperson and members, the whole issue of the inadequate power generation, we have a solar plant, or the source of power or energy is from our current solar plant that was donated or funded by the Department of the National Department of Tourism. And we also have generators, as it was reported in the previous presentation. So the current solar plant mainly operates fully off-grid from the mainland power supply. So on the island, we don't experience what we are currently experiencing in terms of load shedding because of that arrangement. But also, just to say that also there is an interlink in terms of the mechanics of the solar plant, so that I bring into context why the whole issue of diesel usage. So the power converter point of this solar plant has a battery pack or solar battery pack for power distribution to all our facilities on the island. And as we have said, we have various buildings, but through a phased approach, we are not covering all the buildings at the moment. So what we have as use is sufficient based on the demand that is currently required in terms of our facilities. And therefore, in order to be fully green in terms of this solar plant, there is a need to increase the battery pack capacity. Currently, it's sitting at 40%, so we need to increase it at least by another 60%. And as a result, if we then increase this capacity, then they will see the reduction in the diesel reliance for power generation at night. And also, it will increase our load production during the night. So currently, what we have, when we looked at the funding that is required in terms of this augmentation of the battery pack, we are looking at a cost of 7 million. And this we are planning to implement with the current budget that we are receiving from the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, in line with the user asset management plan that we've submitted, amongst the other plans that we are expected to submit and are monitored. We will then implement this in the third quarter of the current financial year. The other source are the generators. So currently we have four generators, and we're happy to hear that there are plans to augment or increase the generators. But the generators, the maintenance rather of the generators, if members can remember, at some point some generators were not functional, but the contractors or DPWI appointed contractors that are currently managing or maintaining these generators, the plant maintenance is scheduled, is proceeding as scheduled rather. So in terms of these four generators, the capacity is 450, and also the fact that some were out of commission, as I've indicated, now these have been brought back to adequate functionality and therefore feeding power to all our facilities. The other risk or huge challenge that we are facing, Honorable Chairperson and members, is the whole issue of water sustainability on the island, because we receive visitors on average, we receive more than 230,000 per annum. And also our target, we are looking at increasing it in the current financial year. So water as a resource is critical in ensuring that our visitors also have adequate water, and also the use of ablution facilities, amongst others, on the island. And also because the houses that are occupied, we also have staff members in terms of the consistent demand of their responsibilities are residents, rather, on the island. So these are some of the issues that when the water challenges prevail, then it creates a lot of challenges for us. But currently, we are saying and confirming that water scarcity is still a challenge on the island, and water has to be ferried, you know, from the mainland every 2 weeks to the island just to close some of the gaps. And this has cost implications that RIM has to absorb. And as we have indicated, sometimes we cancel our tours if there's no adequate water on the island. And the dependency as well of transporting the water is the availability of our cargo boat, of course, the weather conditions permitting. So these are some of the dependencies that we are really looking at, or are impacting us, rather. And therefore, there's also a source where we are looking at the boreholes. So we have 11 boreholes over and above the potable water that we transport, and we have resuscitated 3 of the 11 boreholes on the island, and that has sort of closed the gap to some extent, in a sense that the fact that currently the three resuscitated boreholes are currently producing a total of 800 to 1,000 liters per hour each and per day. And the remaining seven, if those are also resuscitated, then we will see an increase rather of plus minus 6,000 liters per hour per day. And therefore, this is in line with the projected increased visitor numbers that are expected, mainly around the peak season, which starts in November until February. Just to continue, Honorable Chairperson, the other issue that is of concern to us is the fact that, you know, the cost that we have incurred so far, that must be augmented depending on the demand, is that transportation of potable water to date since the financial year has started amounts to 200,000 that we are incurring or that we have incurred. But also, like we have indicated, if there are challenges in terms of some of the maintenance issues, like currently our toilet systems, they need to be changed. So as a result, we then rent out the ablution facilities during the peak season just to close these gaps and some of the challenges that we are facing. I just want to also indicate that we do have two reservoirs currently with a capacity of 1 million liters that have been fully decontaminated with the water being produced from the current desalination plant. So I will touch on the issue of the desalination plant because the reservoirs are linked to the desalination plant. And also just to say that during the low season or normal season, normally we have captured a total of between 75,000 to 90,000 liters per day. And during peak season, that increases to between 120,000 and 150,000 liters per day so as to meet the demand. And the second reservoir has just 900,000 liters and also has been commissioned and also currently being contaminated. So coming back to the existing desalination plant, when members visited, there were issues, there were parts that were waiting for the membranes, if members can remember, that were to be imported and ultimately fitted. And the status to date, we can confirm that since the installation of the new membranes and filters in August and October this year, the plant continues to have intermittent challenges. And this is mainly because of currently we do have a DPWI maintenance contractor that is struggling to really manage the plant effectively, precisely because of the fact that some of the new components that have been bought have been found not to be really compatible with each other in terms of power capacity, as well as the design, as the work that is undertaken by DPWI is based on the fault that continue to be picked up. If one part gets a faulty operation, then that's when now DPWI is called in. And unfortunately, that has resulted in the RIM management saying, knowing that the desalination plant, in terms of its useful life, has been there for the longest time, it was important just to get an independent opinion in terms of before even deciding on either procuring a new desalination plant, just to see how far can this desalination plant take us. And as a result, we have requested the original equipment manufacturer who has manufactured this desalination plant when it was procured on the island. And a detailed analysis was undertaken. And as a result, what came out of the analysis was that the whole issue that of capacity and the whole issue of the augmentation that really needs to happen to determine the actual lifespan and sustainability of the plant, because we're looking at least pushing it to another 5 to 10 years, given the investment that really needs to be put in terms of the new desalination plant, looking at the market rates out there, is that we need a total of 3.5 million to augment what's already been worked on by DPWI, just to make sure that the desalination plant is fully operational to its maximum capacity. And that would require a 14-week turnaround based on the fact that obviously procurement processes need to be taken into consideration. The other issue, Honourable Chairperson, that was raised was the delays in the implementation of the capital works, and therefore, because of the linkage between capital works and maintenance, it's important that in terms of the integrated infrastructure master plan, these two are looked in that context so as to ensure that we scope this correctly and also we spend out the phases as we need to undertake them to ensure that there's also monitoring thereof. So, Honourable Chairperson, currently the infrastructure capital works of Robben Island through the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture conditional grant is 71 million, 0.732, and that has been based on the user asset management plan projects that are captured for the financial year 2023-24, which are earmarked mainly as at or towards the end of the quarter four. So, and as a result, by that time, we should have spent almost 70% of that grant funding, where we have reprioritized the user asset management plan in line with the turnaround strategy, which key of the strategy is to look at alternative means of raising revenue as opposed to relying on the fiscus. And part and parcel of that is to implement our user, or rather our adaptive reuse project or program, where we will then look at the infrastructure and the assets, the built environment that's there, to unlock the value in terms of entering into some of the activities such as providing accommodation on the island for visitors, hosting meetings, amongst others. So to date, also in terms of the very same grant, DSEC, through the engagement that we've been having with the relevant department, division, is that there's an additional 1.37 million that has been assigned for environmental management, and precisely because of that dependency that the chair touched on in his opening remarks in terms of the support that we really need to get from the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure with regard to environment. And also the question that has been posed is that who is actually the custodian? Is it DSEC, is it DPWI, or is it DFSE? And as a result, since we are relying so much on the diesels for power generation, we have made available a budget of 9.137 million, which is also from the operational grant, just to cover the whole issue of diesel, which is the requirement, the key requirement and resource that we need on the island. Chairperson, we thought we should just high level talk about the capital project in terms of that 71 million, where it's supposed to be apportioned. Specifically, we are currently at stage 1 to 2 of the capital project, or rather the adaptive reuse project, which is a key anchor to our turnaround strategy, where we will look at the multi-purpose learning center, the guest house, and the 5 houses that have been identified as potential assets to unlock value in terms of housing visitors when they visit the island at the cost, and also the village along the village precinct where the houses are based, and also Alpha One, because Alpha One, that's our stop when visitors are on the island. That's where they go to get refreshments. So currently we just need to do the interior work of that space and make sure that we augment the services, because currently we offer snacks, but the whole intention is to have a restaurant where now, given the fact that we will be then diversifying our products on the island, this is one site that is identified as part of the capital project. And therefore, the next stages that will follow would be stage 3 to 6, given the phases. And as a result, the practical completion of those identified sites, because it's interior works that just need to be done, will be at the end of the financial year. I won't talk much on rather the intensive remedial maintenance works, but it's linked to the fact that given the identified phases and facilities, it's important that that work be pushed in, under the capital project. And also, Honorable Chairperson, what we just want to highlight also in terms of capital projects is that because of the life cycle or project life cycle process that is followed when we implement infrastructure projects, because we are a marine protected site, and that's where the DFFE comes in from a compliance point of view, is that we are expected to abide to the laws. For an example, between May and August, work cannot be effected because what DFFE maintains is that it's the breeding season of the varied bird species on the island. So as a result, when we plan our annual construction in terms of capital projects, we need to be mindful of that time period where it's not possible to do any construction work. And as a result, the consequence of this, Honorable Chairperson, is that we are left with such a short construction window period, which then affects the overall delivery of our project. And also, SARA, which is the South African Heritage Resources Agency, which is our regulator as a heritage site, also there's compliance requirements, and as such, there's approval processes that we need to adhere to before we can even start any construction work on the site. The next slide, Honorable Chairperson and members, is just to highlight our contribution in terms of job creation with regards to capital projects and some of the work that is undertaken on the island in line with the phases that have been identified. And we can confirm that currently a total of 31 jobs as at from 1st April to date have been created, and this also 85% of that comprises of the target groupings as identified by the requirements of BBBEE and also designated groups. And we are saying that given the fact that we still need to deliver to a maximum of 70% of the capital project, more of the jobs will be created and will increase exponentially. So the table is just a breakdown now of the 2023-24 stats in terms of the jobs that we have created. As you can see, we created a total of 128 jobs, and also a breakdown between females and males, where males still, given the nature of the work, are the dominant gender in terms of the jobs, beneficiaries of the jobs that are created. The next slide is just to also indicate that one of the issues that were a discussion during the oversight visit was the whole issue of partners that need to come on board, given the fact that Robben Island, as initially designated the site, in terms of a, now they call it a critical infrastructure asset. So there is a need of partners and stakeholders to really come close and support us in terms of also the mandate that has been increasing over the years as a World Heritage Site and now a marine protected area. So we have established various partnerships with government departments and entities just to provide a holistic protection and the upkeep of the island, ultimately ensuring sustainability. And one of the partners is the Department of Fisheries, Forestry and Environment, and most of the work falls under the Chief Heritage Officer, supported by the Environment Management Unit, headed by Mr. Sabelo Mahlala. And currently, we are working with three branches, which is the Fisheries Management Branch, where marine conservation inspectors are often deployed on the island, as to given the hectare or the coverage of the total area in terms of the also the nautical mile. One can argue that whether the inspectors rather that are deployed are sufficient to really deal with issues such as abalone poaching as we continue to have incidents of illegal poaching and on our shoreline. And also the other unit that we're working with, or the branch, is the Oceans and Coast Branch in terms of seabed research and the monitoring thereof because of the bird colony that we are as a World Heritage Site and a site of memory. And the last unit or branch that we're working with is the Biodiversity Management Conservation Branch, which is the direct focal point for the United Nations Education, Scientific and a cultural organization, UNESCO, which is responsible for the World Heritage Management and Enforcement thereof, as Robben Island Museum is also one of the World Heritage Sites. And also we have partnered with the South African Police Service, specifically with regard to issues that are plaguing us of illegal poaching, as I've indicated, and engagements are underway. And there has been proposals to have a satellite presence of the South African Police Service on Robben Island. As much as, yes, there's interface engagements between SEPS, DFFE, DSEC, and also DPWI, but we still feel that the presence would assist us in protecting our site. We also have engagements with the South African Navy, which also provides patrols and surveillance given their mandate along the shores and the nautical mile. But also the scope in terms of the support is being engaged on by both partners, as we really feel that there's more value that we can derive from that partnership with the South African Navy. Infrastructure South Africa, as covered by the presenter, they are also a critical stakeholder that we have identified to assist, amongst others, over and above what has been outlined, to prioritize the whole issue of bus infrastructure and scope in line with that integrated infrastructure management master plan, that it needs to be really scoped correctly and phased in terms of its implementation, just to make sure that we maintain the site as it's supposed to. The Department also of Public Works and Infrastructure spoke about the partnership between ourselves, DSEC, and also the department itself. And currently, we are happy to report and confirm what has been reported, that we have 12 DPWI deployed general workers that have assisted us a great deal in clearing some of our sites in terms of horticulture management and therefore horticulture services. Even though this is an interim arrangement, as to whether, you know, beyond the agreed time period that these general workers will be on the island, those are the discussions that we need to immediately confirm. Since we are still awaiting the process and guidance by the department, which is Public Works and Infrastructure, in terms of how maintenance in the short to medium term will be taken, because the current arrangement is in the short, immediate and short term. And we just want to highlight that, therefore, for us, it remains critical, because we really need to maintain this outstanding universal value of the site, of humanity, and also to ensure that the integrity and the authenticity of the island remains. And as we can confirm as well, is that DPWI has allocated for maintenance a total of 152 million over the 3 years. But obviously, with the current arrangements, all we do is to lock calls currently in terms of the interim arrangement. And I can confirm to date that we have a total of 708 calls that we have locked in terms of varying from building maintenance, plumbing issues, and also electrical. And to date, 95 of those job cuts are outstanding. But we just want to highlight that it does not always mean that when we log these calls for maintenance to be done under the current interim arrangements, all the calls get approved. Because we can report that 10 of the calls currently have not been approved. And that ranges from issues around availability of the budget and also the contractors. Because recently, in the past week, we received correspondence that for now calls will not be able to be locked, given some of the budgetary constraints that have been identified. But we are hopeful that that issue will be resolved. And the last point under the partnerships, we are also saying, given the previous engagements, we still feel that the current arrangements can be looked at, because we are relying on Section 17 of the Government Immovable Asset Management Act of 2007, which then allows for the devolution of powers. So that, given all these dependencies that we always work with and that are, at most cases impacting, rather, on the maintenance to be done timeously given the mandate of DPWI. We are still pleading and saying perhaps it will be important to reconsider the current arrangement. I won't speak to the steering committee as this was covered, but we can confirm that the last meeting that was held in July 2023, and therefore RIM and DFEC continue to have our monthly oversight meetings just to make sure that we keep up to speed with both the maintenance issues as well as the implementation of the capital project. The last slide, or second last slide, Honourable Chairperson, is just to bring other matters that we think are of importance to note. As much as there has been a scoping in terms of the removal of asbestos, as well as the financial feasibility exercise, this outcomes is still not shared with RIM, so we don't even know what would be the actual implications. And I think for us, our interest is the timelines it will take to undertake this project, because currently the interim arrangement through the support of the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture and the relevant division or unit, we have sealed all the areas that are exposing the visitors just to make sure that all our visitors are safe. But in the medium to long term, it will be important just to get an indication of when will this project be concluded. And to conclude the presentation, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, it's just to say that, you know, the maintenance and upkeep of the island and built and natural environment is a huge undertaking that would need a huge investment, and therefore full participation from all our primary stakeholders to implement what's within their remit would be engagements that would need to continue. We thank you for this opportunity once more to provide you with the progress in terms of what was identified during the visit. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, CEO, for this presentation. I am not sure whether we have any representative from the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture or Department of Environment, Fisheries and Forests. Do we have any? Lwazi? Lwazi? Okay. In the absence of a response from Lwazi and no one indicating in the meeting that he or she is from the Department of Environment, Forest and Fisheries or the Department of Arts and Culture, I will now invite honorable members to interact with the presentation from the department and the Robben Island Museum. For now, I can see the hand of Honorable Siwisa. Do we have any other members that would like to interact with the report that we have just received? Honorable Sisholo. Any other member? Honourable Van Skalvik? Any other member? Okay, we'll take those three hands for now. Honourable Siwisa, Honourable Sisholo, and Honourable Van Skalvik. In that order, Honourable Member. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and greetings to everyone. Chair, mine is not going to be long, because sometimes, you know, it becomes a bit difficult to engage in a presentation when you are not on the oversight. Unfortunately, my colleague was the one that went on oversight. But, Chair, there's a few concerns that I need to raise when it comes to what has been presented here. The lack of communication between departments, all departments that are involved in the small harbors, including the Robben Island. And I'm going to raise this because we saw the same pattern when we went to Telkom Towers, that there is a lack of communication between departments when it comes to maintenance and the status of property and all of those things. You speak to one department, it says this, and then the other department. It seems as if these departments need to find themselves to sit in one place and find out how they can deal with whatever issues that are at hand. That's the first one. Number two, the issue that every time intervention is done after an oversight is also of a concern. It simply says to me that the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure is a reactive department, not a proactive. Because all of these things and all of these plans and all of the budgetary that was presented today was based on what the committee went and saw when they were on oversight. I think the chairperson of the board of Robben Island said something to say some of the problems are long-standing problems. The last presenter just said there are calls that are logged, but they cannot attend to certain calls because of the budget is not enough, and they are waiting for the department to tell them what is the way forward. It shouldn't be like that, Chair. And I think the calls that are being logged is about a problem that appears, which means that there should be a budget for day-to-day running. So if we are going to wait for the next financial year to deal with some of the issues that people will be, that are on the call logs, then it means, again, the department is reactive, it's not proactive. Because even in a household, a normal household, there is funds for day-to-day. If there's anything that needs to be fixed as in urgent, then there are going to be funds. So, Chair, I think the department needs to be proactive. They mustn't wait for us. When we get there, we want to get 100%. Not for us to go there and pick up things and then the negotiations are going to happen between departments. I'm not sure when the oversight happened, but there was a presentation that says that we still have to sit down with forestry and fishery, which means that there is no urgency to do whatever that needs to be done. Because if there was an urgency, that meeting would have taken place immediately after the oversight. So we are still waiting for a certain meeting to sit. Then the question needs to be raised whether is there any urgency by the department or any other departments that are involved in the small harbors and Robben Island. Are they seeing the urgency to deal with this thing? Robben Island is a heritage site. We shouldn't be dealing with little things. Now we are being told they are going to start a restaurant only now because we went on oversight. A restaurant should have been there because people spend the whole day, most of the day at Robben Island, and there is no proper place for people to get proper food, nutritional food, that is good for the body. The process is only starting now, and it shouldn't be like that. Robben Island has been there for as long as you can remember. Robben Island should have been one of the places that we should be proud of, because it's got a historical background to it. But I'm afraid at this rate that we are going to, we are going to find another heritage site that is going to go to waste, irrespective of the money that the heritage site is making. Because you go to Robben Island, everybody pays. You don't just go for free. There's a payment that you make. And one would ask the question that all of those payments, maybe if we can ask on average how much a revenue is made, on average, how much revenue is made by tourists that go to Robben Island. I don't know if I can say now, if we can get a financial statement to say, this is how much on average Robben Island is making. I'm not sure even if we'll be told that now we are going to prepare a financial statement and then it's going to be sent. Robben Island should be on top notch. We shouldn't be dealing with nitty-gritty things that we are dealing with, that the committee went to see when they went on oversight. It shouldn't be like that, Jay. This is one place that makes it so. And if the Department of Public Works, even the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, don't do what needs to be done. Robben Island is going to be another heritage site that is going to go to waste. At some point, we are going to hear that Robben Island is not operating again, or Robben Island is in the hands of private ownership, if nothing is done about the issue of Robben Island. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable. Who is the Honorable Sikhala?
Good morning. Can I continue, Chair?
Yes, please.
Thank you so much, Chairperson, and good morning to all the colleagues and the department as well as the presenters. Chair, you will forgive me. I will leave my video on as I am currently in load shedding, so my network is unstable. Chairperson, in Setswana, I would have said that Honorable Sibisa Untsetsema Fokomoganong. She has covered part of what I had wanted to highlight in as far as the state of Robben Island is concerned, but specifically in as far as these particular disjointment with these departments, the departments that are responsible for Robben Island. Chair, I will always put it to the department, to Public Works, that they are the ones that ought to be at the forefront of coordinating with DFE as well as Sports, Arts and Culture and Recreation in as far as the maintenance and the nature and extent of the heritage sites or any other asset that is the responsibility of DPWI. I find it rather odd that there is this reactionary approach to many of these particular issues that we often talk about as a committee in relation to how the department is dealing with either abandoned buildings or land parcels or informal settlements that are mushrooming in DPWI and owned properties or land or whatever the case may very well be. It isn't the first time that has been an entity of some sort that has come to before the committee and has highlighted that they want to take over the responsibility of managing and running the day-to-day operations that have to do with Robben Island in this case. And I've highlighted before on the committee that we heard during the, I think it's vote two, budget vote debate, where even the Speaker of the National Assembly highlighted that there ought to be a some sort of, amendment to GIAMA in order to be able to allow the Secretary of Parliament to actually be responsible for some of the assets that are currently under the custodianship of DPWI. And I do think that it is rather problematic that these are presentations that talk about we will, but there's hardly ever the will to actually get these things done. And I would like for the department to take us into their confidence that they will, from henceforth, be at the forefront of coordinating with sister departments where there is this particular collaborative effort that is needed. And I also want to check then with Robben Island in particular, in as far as the presentation is concerned, particularly the aspect where there was an indication that they've made that particular submission to DPWI to take over some of the management responsibilities from the department. What has then been the response from the department in as far as that is concerned? And what is it that is prompting the Robben Island? Well, I suppose I know why they're prompted to take over some of those management responsibilities, because we have it on record, both from the AG, from the Public Service Commission, as well as the Commission for Gender Equality, that the department is failing in many of the legislative roles in as far as these properties are concerned and so forth and so on. And I would imagine, Chairperson, that it would be somewhat of a reassurance to know from the department that we cannot in any way, shape, or form be coming back to the portfolio committee with long-standing issues as highlighted and having to hear how this department or that department is not coming on board, how that department has stopped this particular aspect of the functioning of Robben Island, and so forth and so on. Equally disappointing, Chairperson, is the fact that we don't have Department of Fisheries, Forestry and Environment in the meeting with us here today. We equally don't have sports, arts and culture and recreation in the meeting here today. I don't think that that is something that we should take for granted. I think that if the department and Robben Island in particular in this instance is presenting on issues that have to do with the current state of that particular heritage site, I think that all departments that are responsible for that need to be here so that we can be able to get the views from the three departments that are responsible. But Chair, as I said, and I want to reiterate, I will always put not necessarily the blame, but I will always put it to the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure that as the coordinating department, that they should be the ones at the forefront of making sure that they're able to form some form of structure that allows them to move with ease as far as communication with other sister departments is concerned. And they should be able to provide this committee with a portfolio of evidence of what they've been able to do in order to coordinate efforts to resolve some of these longstanding issues with these sister departments so that we can be comfortable and confident that DPWI is in effect at the forefront of coordinating efforts in resolving some of these issues. Chairperson, I must also highlight that it is rather disappointing that it was not communicated to us, unless I've missed it, it's possible, that we no longer have Ms. Nyeledi Makubele as the acting DG of the department and that we have a new, newly appointed acting DG of the department, which also then really, really speaks volumes about the lack of institutional memory that the department has, given that it hasn't had a permanent DG for a long time. It equally hasn't had a minister that presided over the department for a term, which really, really highlights some of the problems that we are facing as a department, or that this department is facing, and these issues that have been highlighted by members of the portfolio committee over time. I think for me, Chairperson, that is rather disappointing, and it adds to the challenges that we've been speaking about as a committee over time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sixolo, Honorable Van Calvey.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to the Honorable Members. Chairperson, the officials of the department, our support staff, as well as all the presenters that presented. I want to welcome the presentations, Chair, and some of my concerns has been that I had previously has been answered through the presentations. However, Chairperson, let me allow me just to echo the same concern as been raised by Honorable Sihlolo in terms of the absence of DFFE and Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, because I know that when speaking about Robben Island, there are some, as well as the small harbors, there are some joint initiatives and responsibilities that we would like to see what the different departments are saying. But safe to say, let me move forward, Chairperson. In terms of the small harbors, Chairperson, when we visited physically the small harbors, the Hout Bay situation stood out for me in terms of security. Although there were tactical security services present, we saw that still the poachers, they proceed as normal and they're even threatening the other people. So if there's no other measures being put in place or at least increase the number of personnel at that specific harbor, I don't see how it's going to assist in terms of combating crime at that harbor. Then, Chairperson, we do realize that we need to see market-related lease charges, but we don't want to see the
the situation where we chase leaseholders away and have unintended consequences in especially rural small harbours. We do agree that leasing rates should be market-related, but we urge do not empty rural small harbour buildings, as this may just lead to more vandalisation and joblessness where it is needed the most. Because we are recommending, Chairperson, or we spoke about the small and medium and micro enterprises owned by the previously disadvantaged. Surely leases for such people whose emerging businesses cannot be too high, and we really need to see something else being on the table for those kind of entrepreneurs. And that's why we're asking, what are the measures that the DPWI is taking to incentivize Black and women-owned small business owners to do business at small harbors? Then, Chairperson, we've heard about the reviewing of the time frame of the tariffs, which we were worried about, but there's no time frames. And that's why we had to speak to DFSE in that regards, because we know it's their competency. So if we can get some clarification, even through written responses of what they are, how they are planning to review the tariffs and by when. Then, Chairperson, when we look at the 181 EPWP participants being deployed to the small harbors, we are welcoming that initiative, but there's still a high number of vacancies at the harbors. So my humble plea in this regard would be, Chairperson, not all the vacancies require highly skilled or qualified personnel. So my humble plea is, if you have the EPWP participants, we don't want them to be lifelong EPWP participants. We need to see them being employed in at least the low and no skilled positions, like cleaners and things like that. Work that they are already doing at as EPWPs in the small harbor. So if we can have that initiative so that the program makes provision for new entrants into the system. So we see the high level of vandalism that has taken place in this various small harbors. So my question is, what plans are in place to restore these buildings? Then when moving to the Robben Island, Chairperson, it is a point of concern to me, Chairperson, that we've spoken extensively about the steering committee, and we appreciate that it's been revived in June. But however, it's been reported that the last meeting was in July. So can we really say it's been revived, or was it just a tick box exercise to come and present to this committee on the revival? Or what are the plans in terms of the frequency of their meetings as the steering committee? Then, Chairperson, I need to know what about when the DPWI used to have officials working on the island in the past, but that Robben Island demanded that the officials leave. The maintenance on the island requires an active on-site workshop, Jay. There was one on the island in the past. What happened to this? And do they have plans in order to bring back or restore this workshop to improve service delivery to the island? Where that I also need to know, Chairperson, where does the budget for the capital works and maintenance reside, and who controls actually that budget? I think I'll pause there. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
So much, Honourable Van Schalkwyk. Any other hand? I just want to take this. Okay. Oh, it's just an apology. I wanted to check the message on the chat box. Let me add my voice in appreciating the presentation that have been made to us by all the presenters, the department and the Robben Island Museum. Just to raise some few questions, starting on the issues of the department first, there are serious issues that we raise about Hood Bay, small harbour. One, the issue of security. Yes, I had the regional manager presenting, but I didn't hear a clear program. Remember when we were there, the municipality indicated that there are some plans that it has about that harbour, in fact, about that area, the entire area. And you have buildings that are lying there that are not utilized, buildings that belong to the department, and day in, day out, there is a constant people from those small villages that are constantly taking, they first took the roof, now they're taking brick by brick. We were shown those things. I didn't hear clearly when the department was presenting what are their plans about that land that is lying there. The reality is that Hood Bay has a potential. If the department can give that land to the municipality, I think a lot can be done there. I didn't hear that from the presentation that we received. Coming to the Robben Island issue, one thing that I'm not happy about is the fact that the department, to me, yes, it only responded, if I may say so. Because if you can see, you are getting a report that says that on the 1st of November, we met with this, on the 2nd of November. Did that all happen because you were about to present to us on this 22nd? Or are there any other meetings prior November to show that the issue that we have raised, you immediately interacted with them? Yes, we know that in Saldanha, you have been there, the minister have been there, but on this issue, and the reality, another issue that we raised, because the department was there, the museum was there, well, the issue of looking on long term, as you hit in the presentation, there is an area that we were told there that the distance in terms of kilometers is the shortest from that area to Robben Island. I don't know whether it's 7 kilometers or whatever, but or even less. And when we were talking with you there, we asked, are you not looking at maybe a long-term plan of having a bridge, especially on that shortest distance? But that island, on issues of water, there is a way that water pipes are on that bridge. going to. And even if you look at it, even on the issue of the electricity, those are the issues that we were raising in ensuring that you preserve that heritage site, so that even our grandchildren will know that Nelson Mandela and all other political prisoners were there. The people who fought for this freedom that were enjoying today were there. There is a lot that we raise. We really appreciate some of the issues that you're looking at and in doing. I think, I don't know who was responding when we were there. They even said no, they had those plans prior of looking at having a bridge there. But today there's nothing that is even saying about that. Or maybe is it part of the long-term plans of both the department and the museum, looking at the fact that you also have a potential of raising the numbers that you are currently saying you have each year. Last time there was only one boat working, both boats working now because you have two boats that have a potential of going to Robben Island. No, I was not well there, Sisig, but I really took some notes on what we saw there. Thank you so much. Over to you, department at Robben Island. I will talk on that one when closing, on the issue of these departments that are not part of this meeting.
May I come in, Chairperson, so that I can deal with the Robben Island issues, please?
Okay, Chair, you can start it.
Right. Taking your questions in particular, Chairperson, and then I'll go to the members' issues. All of you are correct. You're spot on in identifying the problematics which we inherited. The current management and the current Robben Island Council inherited those problems. The management was appointed between the end of 2022 and this year. The current council came on board in July last year. And I want to note that senior officials of the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture are present. Ms. Ben Mazwi is here. She deals with facilities and infrastructure. And Mr. Tsanyane, who deals with oversight of entities, is present. And our presentation was shared with them, and their input has been included. So they are very much here. I want to say that your last point about the bridge is something that we certainly are looking at. Its realization will be in the medium to long term. And you are very correct that it is the shortest point between the mainland and Robben Island. However, we are doing that in discussion with ISA because they are the experts in that. And they are also, and Mr. Tladi did present here, they are also advising on the workability. It will require a public-private partnership with a turnkey operation, and we are looking at an electric or a rail system to bring people there, and your point about water and electricity is important in that regard. I want to further state that Robben Island, ironically, we know that there's two more generators being commissioned. However, it does increase our carbon footprint. And all that our leadership at national level are saying about reducing and making more green our environment, and particularly because this is a small island, it is a threatened island, it is reducing in size, to put another generator when we can simply buy batteries to increase the power to 100%. It will save money. It will reduce the cost of diesel going forward, because it is needless. It's really a wasteful and fruitless expenditure in our view. Whereas putting in new batteries on the solar field that we have will increase our electricity immediately. The inability of the providers contracted to deal with the simple matter of desalination is a case in point. It's over a year. These filters were brought from France. It's ridiculous. And till today, that water is not 100%. Whereas if we used local providers, and that goes to the heart of Honorable Van Skalkwyk and other members and yourself raising it in your visit to Robben Island earlier this year, more jobs would be created. The way that the department has operated is big contractors get the contracts, huge profits are made, and the assets dwindle because there is no direct accountability. In the previous regime, and I pointed this out to the PPC when you visited Robben Island, everything was done very quickly. Now we have this multiple accountabilities, and one department passes the buck to the other. I want to, however, state here that the previous minister, the Honorable De Lille, who is now Minister of Tourism, stopped the total facilities management contract being granted and said that it will be Robben Island that will manage that. We are completely capable to do this, Chairperson, because we've been chosen to be in oversight. And I want to state to the Honorable Member Setlolo raising this about our financials. In our last financial year, ending March this year, we reduced reliance on the fiscus by 50%. We increased our direct revenue to 55%. If we do not have these Handlanger entities that are engaged by DPWI and so on, we don't need service providers. We need directly employed people, artisans, carpenters, plumbers, and electricians, etc., on the island who can do the work. We don't need a company who then hires these persons. This is a break, and it's a block to more people being employed if the department continues in on this path of continuing to make the rich richer. Our country suffers greatly from the highest rate of employment in the world and the lowest, highest rate of unemployment in the world and lowest rate of employment. We are number one in terms of the rich-poor gap. We can turn that around if we are entrusted and we are fully accountable for that money. You don't need a 50% markup on these contracts, which often happen. It'll be value for money. And if in the 9 months of our tenure, in the first financial year, and that AFS will be made immediately available to members, the Robben Island, you know, it's been approved, it's been passed, the AG has been satisfied, and the one outstanding matter is the wasteful expenditure with regard to one of the ferries. We've also closed that chapter on that wasteful expenditure, which was not wasteful, irregular expenditure, because ab initio, it was flawed. There is consequence management relating to that, and it's ongoing right now as we speak. The persons responsible are being held liable for their lapses. So there's a variety of issues that should not be happening if the previous ministers stopping off the contracting and the current minister is fully aware of it. Yet, we were shocked to hear a few months back ex-political prisoners raising concern that there's an opportunity from Public Works to have a partnership with ex-political prisoners to do work on the island and so on. And ex-political prisoners, you will note, previously these were in the media. They did not go to the media. They came to us raising concern that we thought that the old manner of engagement is stopping and that Robben Island Council and its management will be fully held accountable for all monies that it receives from the fiscus. As I pointed out, we've reduced the reliance on the fiscus and we can be completely self-reliant and indeed show an excess of income over expenditure if we did not have to go through all these hurdles. Indeed, many of us feel very frustrated with the manner of dealing with this because it's almost like being in a classroom where the little infant can't do anything because the creche teacher has to go to the parents and raise issues or the principal of the entity. We are big boys and girls in our council. I'm using the words deliberately, and we can be held fully accountable and publicly for all money. The Department of Sport, Arts and Culture is fully confident in our ability to do so. It seems that between the previous ministers stopping the contract and the current minister agreeing, there seems to be other shenanigans happening. Please, Portfolio Committee, let's work together to stop this, because together we can restore Robben Island to its pride of place. We can ensure that we don't continue to pay Growth Point at the time that it purchased through some lease agreement, through some 99-year lease agreement, the V&A waterfront. We're using their office facility at a high rental. We're stopping that in the new year. We want to make our staff use our facilities. But some of those facilities are unusable because of the dereliction over time. And the department, when they presented in our previous meeting earlier this year, acknowledged that the ball dropped around 2013. And for 10 years now, it is wasteful, it's irregular, and it actually bedevils our ability to be held accountable as members of the public who are appointed to oversee Robben Island. We're not an SOE, we're an entity of the department, and we want to continue to be held fully accountable if there are no shenanigans. And we suspect that that's at the heart of these issues, and they can be resolved if the Portfolio Committee makes a clear finding, because the Speaker also visited the island and was concerned with some of these issues, and we ask Parliament, the ultimate oversight body, to actually proclaim on our future, because we cannot continue with previous systems that have clearly failed and which will fail because the persons appointed will not be held accountable to us. Note the number of calls, the few hundred, and Advocate Sharma presented just over 1,000 calls logged. We wouldn't have that. It's an internal, it's not a public thing. It's an internal system logging calls for this part and that issue. We wouldn't have that. We will hold the staff members who are responsible, qualified to do those things, accountable and able to maintain and refurbish. To do these kinds of things require different skills, and those will be direct employment. We can increase the artisan employment and expertise employment at all levels in the system if that money was freed up to be used and fully accountable. We will not allow 1 cent to just be misspent. As it is, we've cut expenses down tremendously, and we're on that path, and we believe that by the end of that kind of opportunity, we will ensure that Robben Island is restored fully to sustainability, to show excess of income over expenditure, to reinvest and engage in medium to long-term plans, all of which are being put on hold because of these problems. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Not sure whether the management don't have any other additions on this response of the Chair.
Thank you so much, Honourable Chairperson. I'll just take the question that relates to the restaurant on the island that was asked by Honourable Siwisa. We do have facilities in terms of course area where visitors would then go and grab some refreshments. But what we are saying is that because of the length rather of the visit on the island, it would be important to now introduce a restaurant where we are augmenting the current one, which is at Alpha One, where the buses pause during the visit. So that's what we meant, that we were trying to augment that under the adaptive reuse project that I've spoken about, which would also aim at diversifying some of the aspects other than the Alpha One post point that we are currently using. There was a question on the issue around the budget cycle, specifically in terms of the revenue that we generate. It's safe to say that because we are a Schedule 3A public entity, unfortunately, whatever revenue that we make, we return to the National Treasury, and then through the MTF, or rather the financial year-end processes, we then apply for a surplus that we would have made to retain it. And before approval is granted, you must just show the National Treasury the benefit in terms of what is it that you want to be reallocated to you. So it does not mean that whatever surplus we can then just decide as Robben Island to reallocate to areas of need, such as capital infrastructure amongst others, which for us are very key in unlocking the revenue generation strategy that we are currently driving under the turnaround strategy. There was also a question on the, I think it was Honorable C. Trulo, regarding the devolution of powers. We did use an opportunity when the new minister joined in, Minister Zikalala, and there were engagements, and the immediate response that we were given was to say, perhaps it might be something to look at, but we can only be given the management responsibilities without the budget. So for us, I think that's also another issue that we can be given, but then if there's no budget that is under the DPWI vote currently, then it will be a challenge. It will be setting ourselves up for failure if we had to agree to that arrangement. And there was also a question relating to what happened to the DPWI staff in 2013, rather that were on the island. And there was a mention of the island workshop. The island workshop is currently there, but it's being used by the contractors that are coming on site as we lock the calls, given the current interim arrangements. But what happened, Honourable, I think it was Honourable Van Schalkwyk that asked that question. Yes. What happened was that in 2013, when the new model of using total facilities management companies or an outsourced model was introduced by DPWI, all DPWI employees had to leave the island, and they returned in 2015 under the new total facilities management company that was appointed, which was Kuha. Subsequent to the contract ending, I think it was a 5-year contract or a 3-year contract, then RIM absorbed some of the general workers, given the issues that were plaguing the media in terms of the state of disarray in terms of our island. So as a result, and as an interim arrangement, which was a decision by the previous management, then those KUHA employees were absorbed. And I think there are a total of 10 or 12, and currently we are only left with 7 of those general workers. And I think the last question that was asked was, how are we managing the CAPEX budget? The CAPEX budget comes through the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, through the capital infrastructure grant, which is a conditional grant, and it's managed under Program 2, our budget Program 2, which is our infrastructure program. And through our internal budget monitoring processes and in our budgeting process, that's how that budget is managed. And we also report on a quarterly basis to the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. And also accountability is also in a form of interface meetings that we hold with the department on a quarterly basis and on a needs analysis, as in when an issue arises, just to report back on that budget that has been allocated. Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson. I think that's those are the questions that I thought I should come in. Thank you so much.
Thank you, CEO. Then I think if there are no other additions from Robben Island Museum, let's then move to the department.
PWI.
Yes, Mr.
Engel. Oh, is the DG going to respond first?
Yes, I will start first, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Can the DG show us his face, please?
I have my head. I don't know what I can do. Okay, I don't know if you see me now, Madam Chairperson.
Yeah, we can.
Yes, good afternoon, Madam Chairperson, and everyone who's there in the meeting. My team will answer the questions one by one. I just wanted to say that I've listened carefully to what Dr. Seth Cooper is saying about the issue of facilities management and our policy to actually outsource it rather than insource it and allow them to run and to give them that money. It's a big discussion. Even some of the departments are asking for it. And as of now, the department has not yet granted that, but it's looking at that. But I just want to assure him, and I'm also indebted to the CEO in clarifying what happened in terms of historical information. I just want to assure Dr. Cooper that I'm listening here carefully. I'm taking close notes. My officials might give the official status and position of the department, which I know that this is still with us now, and there is the question that has been asked by departments that the minister has opened that we look at it of devolution of certain things in this area of facilities management. So I will report to the minister the strong words that Dr. Cooper said, and also the passion. And I know he's a person of integrity and the way he raised them. But it's a policy issue that we'll have to deal with inside. I just want to assure her that despite whatever the officials will answer in terms of policy, that I've heard what he says, I will report to the minister what he says. Thank you very much, Chairperson. My officials can answer the other questions.
Thank you so much, Acting DG. We then wait for those that will respond. I think Ms. Pengla will, okay. Can you please continue?
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I will first deal with the issue of the budget for maintenance.
Yes, indeed, Chairperson, we have a challenge when it comes to the budget at this moment, at this time in the department. It is indeed that our budget for day-to-day maintenance is depleted. And I think for this item, as at end of October, we're sitting at 118, just the Cape Town Regional Office, 118%, which is we're over budget by 63 million. So we had to send out those letters to the clients just to sensitize them and to take note that our budget is depleted, and not to say that internally there are no efforts to try and identify funding from other items. We've been meeting with the office of the CFO as well as the DDG FM, as well as CPM Construction Management Unit to try and identify if there's going to be an under expenditure from other, you know, items in the budget. But we had to be, you know, proactive and responsible so that we don't find ourselves exceeding, you know, way over than, because we are not even allowed to exceed the budget. It's a crime in terms of the PFMA. But I'm glad that the CEO is indicating that she has received the correspondence. But in that letter, we did indicate that we will still engage with the clients. We are planning to have a workshop where we'll bring these issues in formally and discuss. But we did indicate that we'll prioritize the calls, say that we'll focus on crucial and critical calls. We'll do some prioritization. When it comes to the issue of the poachers and the crime at the harbour in Hout Bay, it's unfortunate that the FFE is not at the meeting. We in terms of the tactical response security that we've deployed, they are really trying. But it's something that has got, we are meeting with the FFE. They are still in the process of appointing service providers to beef up the security measures within the harbour. And also the issue that was raised by Honorable Van Skalvik, in terms of the measures that we are putting in place to incentivize, you know, your small businesses. We are looking at in the renewal process, Honorable Chair, we are looking on a case by case basis, you know, hence I indicated in my presentation that the progress and the response is very slow because we are engaged, because the companies, they will come forward and request maybe reductions there based on so many reasons that they would be advancing. So it's something that we are very much alive to, that we would want to, we don't want to see any tenant being out of business, and especially within the harbour, because they are providing, you know, employment opportunities. And also the high vacancies at the harbours and the extension of the programme of EPWP, we are looking at extending the programme. Hence, I indicated that within the department is being repositioning the programme EPWP, and in terms of repositioning, we, you know, deal with the program, I think more jobs will be created, and especially for the harbors. I know that there is a strategy that EWP is working on, even in the region, to create more job opportunities for the harbor. In terms of the buildings that are vandalized, what plans are in place to restore vandalized buildings? The plan is to put these properties out on the open market, as I've indicated. So whoever, you know, so that those who would be interested to invest, they can then take on buildings and refurbish and build them. And I think we'll look at that also to offset and maybe give them rental holidays and so forth. So those are some of the measures to incentivize the tenants. A case in point, Honourable Chairperson, is in Hawaii. You know, the IDC building is earmarked for for a co-op which has been established by the FFE. It talks to the partnerships that we are establishing with the other departments so that we can leverage on each other's programs. The FFE, they've established a few co-ops, I think, right through the country, and there's quite a few in the Western Cape. And I think the Hout Bay co-op is one of the biggest, it's the biggest co-op in the Western Cape. It comprises of it's a small-scale fisherman from Imizamo Yethu and Hangbeck. So a co-op has been established. So our contribution is to avail a building so that these co-ops can establish themselves. We're starting with Hout Bay. We will be moving to Houston. So that is our social contribution using our property portfolio. So we are working with the FFE. So even the interactions after the portfolio, it's not to say that we started now in November in interacting with them. We started long time ago, but we are just reflecting the meetings that as we are going to be taking place now. But it's such that in the presentation, maybe we didn't mention the IDC initiative and also the initiative for the other co-ops which have been established in the province. Also, the plan for Hout Bay, Honorable Chairperson, is that the plan is to appoint a management agent that will manage the harbour and also will be tasked with the responsibility to attract investors so that they can then come and invest in the harbour and bring that harbour to life. But it was very important that process had to be preceded by a social facilitation process where we had to first bring communities around communities on board, because if you are to do anything or embark on any project within the harbour, if you embark on a project, the harbour, without involving the communities, that project would fail. So the establishment of that committee was very critical. Now that we've got the buy-in and the commitment of the community, now we are going to be going back to the community after they've been appointed by the minister, and we present this concept of the management agent so that they also buy into that, as well as explaining to them what opportunities would accrue to the surrounding communities when that management company is in place and their continued participation in management and the daily operations of the harbour. So that is the approach that the department is taking when it comes to Hout Bay Harbour. And with the hope that we will develop and come up more or less this plan for certain strategic harbours, not all the harbours, because some are small, but there are those harbours that present a lot of potential, like a case in point is your Saldanha and your Hermanus. They've got a lot of potential whereby you can bring in a management company to manage together with the department, appointed by the department, to bring in investment. So in terms of So I think, Chairperson, those were some of the questions that were raised by the honourable members. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Peng. Honourable members, any follow-up questions? Okay, in the absence of those, I just want to raise few issues on this. Oh, Dr. Suzani, do you want to say something, Acting DG, before we round up? I saw your hand.
I think that was my hand.
Okay.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much. I've listened to everything and I've noted it, and I wouldn't want to say anything further. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much. Just a few comments as we round off. One, we are taking note of the absence of these two departments. Because as the portfolio committee, on our oversight visit, we raised the issue of the interaction and working together of these departments, DFFE, especially on the harbors, DFFE, DPWI, and SABS when it comes to Hot Bay. And when it comes to Robben Island, the DFFE, the Department of Sports and Arts and Culture, so their absence is much glaring because there are issues here that should have been responded to by these two departments. So we're really worried about their absence, and we will raise that even when this report, we're taking it to another level. Two, the issue of outsourcing. I don't think as the portfolio committee we're taking kindly to that. We've seen here, in fact, we got a report when people that were employed by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure were dismissed for outsourcing. I in this time and era of job losses and the high unemployment rate in South Africa, I don't think we need to look at that. We need to look at how can we create jobs, not this issue of outsourcing. I remember we even raised the issue that DM, why is the department looking for an implementing agent outside its own entities when it has an entity that is capable of doing maintenance? We asked, we saw that and we asked those questions, but even today you don't get to feel that. So we have a serious issue when it comes to the issue of outsourcing and when it comes to the issue of look, this issue of having a management agent. Remember when it comes to harbors, there are harbor masters or harbor mistresses. What are we going to do with those people when we bring in a management agent? Maybe those people will then be unemployed. I don't know, but it's something that we need to think about when we are bringing all these issues in trying to resolve what we have raised in this. Lastly, we really appreciate the work that has been done so far from the time that we are there. But there is room for improvement. We're taking serious note on the issue of the Robben Island Museum. We're taking that because we believe that we are here now as public reps because of those men and women that spent most of their life in that island as political prisoners. Were it not for them, we would not have this chance as women, as black people, to be members of parliament in this country called South Africa. We know where is this country coming from. So as we will be celebrating 30 years of freedom in our country, we really would like to see that heritage site, which is Robben Island, in a better space and shape than it is currently in. We hope that a minister and your team, together with the chairperson and the CEO of Robben Island, you will really make time and haste in doing those improvements there. And I know that even more visitors will be coming in, especially next year when we'll be celebrating 30 years. I think it's one of, if we talk on footprints, if we talk on the freedom route of South Africa, it's one of the areas that Europe and Ireland can leave behind. So in preparation for the 30 years of our freedom, really something must be done to address those challenges that are there. On that note, DM and your team from the department, acting DG, you are most welcome in the meeting. I understand this is your first meeting with us. And Chairperson of the Robben Island Museum and the CEO and their management, we appreciate the time that you spent with us and the responses that you have made. You may then be released in our meeting so that we continue.
Chair, before you, I'm sorry to interject. Before you close, Chair, I am Pam Benmanzi from DZEC. There is a note that we've written as DZEC that we are present, just struggling to raise the hand. We've written on the chat box, even after the chairperson has also emphasized that we are in the meeting, Chair. I think did not hear that. He's still saying the DZEC is not in the meeting. I'm very sorry to interject, but Chair has also alluded to the fact that our inputs are included in the Robben Island Museum presentation. So I just wanted to emphasize and apologize that Chair did not see the note on the chat box and did not hear that the chairperson indicated that DZEC is also in the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Pam Benmanzi. I really appreciate your interjection at this time, but I would really have appreciated it more when we were asking questions, when responses were being made, when you, if you had interjected there and said that this is as much as there is our response in the presentation, but we are doing this, we would really have appreciated that at the time. But thank you for raising that. Department of Sports, Arts and Culture is in the meeting. On that note, honorable members, we then released the department and all the departments in the meeting and the Robben Island Museum. We really appreciate your time with us.
Thank you very much.
Can I
Thank you,
Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Person, thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and
thank you, Chair. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Chair, I thought you started a choir there for some moment.
Hey, Honorable Sitala, don't do that. Our second item, Honorable Members, are the minutes of our previous meeting. Lwazi, the minutes have been with us. They've sent to us. Any corrections, Honorable Members, on the grammar, spelling, and all that? Anyone who is missing in terms of those that were present in the meeting? Okay, in the absence of those, can we then have a mover that we adopt this minute as the true reflection of what happened in our last meeting, Honorable Members? May I have a mover, please? Honorable Members, may I have a mover?
Chair, let me move. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Van Skalvik. May I have a seconder, Honorable Members? May I have a seconder? Honorable Sisala, preparing to go to Parliament.
Yeah, I will second in a minute.
thank you, Honorable Members. Honorable Members, thank you again. for your interactive questioning and comments on the report that we just dealt with. It really shows that you are applying your mind and you are doing your work, that of doing oversight on the department, its entities, and the departments that we are dealing with, other than the one that is Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. I am really taking offense on the absence of these departments that were supposed to be part of the meeting today, honorable members, and the fact that someone would only interject at the last end when we are talking. That person didn't have the chance to interject. I don't think that was on, honorable members. But on that note, we really appreciate all the time that you spent with us. Next week, honorable members, I think you all know that we'll be having a physical meeting. We don't accept apologies of load shedding, honorable members, because it will be our physical meeting. Honorable Vikala?
Chair, thank you. I didn't want to interrupt, but I know that the department was part of the meeting and that Mrs. Peng was also part of the meeting, and I wanted to remind the committee that we urge you for a comprehensive report as per the minutes that we have just adopted as a committee on the Waterloo Green properties from the department as per our last week meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Honorable Sutolo. I think on that note, Mr. Shuaib, Mr. Lwazi, you making a follow up on that one.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Chairperson, if I may just come in on that one. The committee, if you notice in the minutes, we refer to the need of a report that needs to go to the House for consideration on that matter before the department can come back to us and follow up. But the minutes will state also, Chair, that because all the information was not available, I think it's today, no, the 27th, no, yeah, it is today, the 22nd, I think that's what Honourable Tolo is referring to, that the department had until today to send the information to us, and therefore 7 days from today, the report should go for ATC, and then we'll process it from there. I just thought I should put that process, or should emphasize that process as such, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shuaib. On that note, honorable members, but those that are going to catch some buses going to Parliament today are in a position to prepare properly. We'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you, honorable members.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Shuaib.
Yes, sir.
You still here, ne?
Yeah.
Can you give me just 2 minutes so that everyone can leave and then we can have a one-on-one?
Sure.